No one among us needs any instruction to know that the birth of someone is a very joyous occasion. It brings great joy, doesn't it, you mothers and you fathers who have had that joy. Who could ever take that away from you, no matter what happens afterward? The joy of seeing a precious treasure that God has entrusted not only to you, but to the whole world, and then a treasure that he wishes to take back to himself. This is the joy of a life that is donated by God, life that is made possible by the cooperation of mother and father. So whenever we read in Scripture about birth, we read about joy. Another thing that occurs in Scripture, another theme, is this idea of recalling who we are and who God is. And one way in which Scripture conveys this to us is through the use of genealogies. In the Old Testament, there are many examples, and we see an example here in the New Testament also, in the Gospel passage taken from Matthew, of the significance of genealogy. There are two genealogies in the New Testament, both relating to Jesus, one related by the evangelist St. Matthew, the other by St. Luke. And they both have a bit of a different emphasis. We might say that the genealogy of Luke accentuates the fact that we are progeny of one who turned his back against God. So there is a dark side to a genealogy, remembering who we are, what we have done in relation to God. After our birth, we have sinned against God, but also, insofar as original sin is concerned, something that God intended to hand on to us was not handed on, that namely being original justice. So we have original sin and actual sin, these memories, not so pleasant memories, that we have of being alienated, of being drawn away from what our true goal is. So joy comes at the origin, the beginning, but sorrow proceeds along the way when we realize that we are impeded in some wise from reaching our end. What we are made for, we are made for our Lord. But a genealogy also conveys hope, and this is particularly conveyed by the genealogy that was proclaimed today in the Gospel of Matthew. If you paid close attention, you will have noted not only was there a strict lineage there connecting Abraham with Joseph, Joseph, the husband of Mary, there were a few sinners that were thrown in for good measure in this genealogy. And these are accentuated by Matthew, not because sin has triumphed in that regard, but rather this shows forth the promise of God in spite of man's sinfulness. This is one of the reasons that this genealogy is presented as such, because the evangelist begins not with Adam, but with Abraham. And Abraham, as we know, is called our father in faith, according to the language of the church. He is the one who stepped out in faith in the midst of a sinful generation, and he laid hold of the promises of God. He laid hold of the promises of God precisely through faith, and so hope sprang up in a new way. Humankind was to realize it was not abandoned to its own devices. But in spite of itself, God, being all good and all generous, knew a way, had already planned a way, to reconcile mankind to himself. And all throughout the Old Testament, the people, while being reminded of their sinfulness, and indeed seemingly going from bad to worse, all the while was drawn by God, reminded by God of this hope that they were to keep alive like a flame, almost put out by the winds of caprice, the winds of sin, the winds of rebellion, but never quite. Saintly souls were raised up throughout the Old Testament, the patriarchs, the prophets, holy men and women, to remind people to call them back to their senses, to make them realize that the treasure that God wanted to give them was not completely out of reach. And then a new day dawned, and this day is signified in a particular way by the feast that we celebrate today, the birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, as we know, of course, thanks to the proclamation in particular of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, this joy, this birth of a new hope, we might say, began really not with the birth, but with the conception of this mother, the one who was to become the Mother of God. Yet we might say it is manifested in a particular way. It is sealed. That might be the best word to use here, sealed, when she saw the light of day, when she issued forth from the womb of her mother, St. Anne. And so we could be sure, we could have a confident hope. Mankind knew then, that there was a hope that does not disappoint. And this is what the Blessed Virgin Mary means for us, because she brought forth the Savior of the world, the one who was destined to bring about the definitive victory, the one with whom she and her offspring, they were to crush the head of the ancient serpent, obtain that definitive victory, so that mankind, adhering to these individuals, were to realize a hope that seemed all but out of reach. Yet she came before our Savior. This is the remarkable thing. She's that white dawn, as the Church tells us, the one who gave that assurance, that bridge that links those who waited with anticipation, waited with eager longing for the coming, for the fulfillment of the promises of the Lord, because they realized that the Lord keeps his promises. And there she was in their midst to put the seal on the promise of the Lord. And she remains in our midst now to remind us, here in the age of Christ, here when salvation is in our midst, here when we know and we feel ever more acutely our own sinfulness, our own unworthiness. And the Mother of God manifests herself anew to remind us that our hope is sure when we place our hope in her. Thus today, we have something very special, don't we? We have 8 young men who today wish to place all their hopes in her, who wish to ratify that hope and wish to be signposts, proclaiming to the world, a world gone astray, a world that has abandoned this hope, that wishes to cast aside this hope. These 8 young men, in the midst of so many obstacles, swimming, as it were, against the tide, hold on brightly to this hope. Hold on with a confidence, the assurance that the one in whom they place their hope will never let go. That's what it means today. And they do so, these 8 young men, by taking the form, by expressing this hope, we might say, in the form of a religious consecration, a very beautiful treasure given to us by our Lord, not only for the benefit of these souls, but for everyone, because we all falter, we all become discouraged, and we need reminders, don't we? We need reminders constantly. We're constantly ready to give into despair. We're constantly ready to rebel anew against our Lord. And we need these reminders. And our Blessed Lady has touched the hearts of these 8 young men, not only for their good, but for ours as well. What a wonderful occasion it is to be able to hold this religious ceremony for the very first time at Mount St. Francis. No. It's a gift of Our Lady. Don't say it's the gift of the one that's speaking to you. It's not my gift. What do I have to do with it? Yes, I make my decisions. I cooperate, but it's Our Lady who has wished to bestow this gift, not upon us just here, but all those who in some way also distant from this place will participate by joining, uniting their hearts to ours. And we need to go and proclaim, we need to go and imitate these eight young men. Not so far, of course, necessarily, as making their religious consecration that they are making, but holding on to that hope according to the measure of grace that God has given us. And they are here to proclaim that it is always possible to lay hold of this hope and to persevere in it until the very end. It is never too difficult. It is true that laying hold of this treasure might exact a very heavy price. That price might end up being our martyrdom. We don't know, of course. We do not know that price. We are sure that God will exact some sort of sacrifice from us of a greater or lesser degree. And who knows, in this turbulent age in which we live, that God wishes to give us a gift that he had never given any generation before now. Who knows? I am not here to proclaim to you that that is the case. God knows. I don't. But why cannot we live as if indeed he does do that? Because I do think, actually, that is my opinion. And not mine only, but if you read many sacred authors, they will tell you more or less the same thing, some directly, some implicitly. That Our Lady, at this point, wishing to manifest herself in an ever more apparent way, wishes to raise up souls to practice more heroically this laying hold of hope, see? This hope that is embodied in this woman. See, hope is something that is not limited simply to the imagination, that does not simply involve the human soul, but involves both body and soul. See, we lay hold of a person, body and soul, who is our bridge to another person, who is the God-man, who is a sure bridge to life everlasting, if we never let go. This is what it means to give oneself unlimitedly in consecration to this person. To no one else has God asked that we do this, but to this woman, yes, because of what she represents, the beacon of hope that she actually is. And she wants each one of us, within my sight, within my hearing, to act, to actuate that program of laying hold of the hope and persevering into it, so that the whole world, seeing the sons and daughters of Mary as we are and where we want to be, will melt, let their hearts be melted. Friends, there are many urgent things today that we need to pray for. There are many dangers, many trials that are either happening in our midst or are about to befall us. God hasn't given us several avenues of hope. He's given us one. These young men realize and have decided to trek down that avenue, not looking back. And friends, we need to proclaim to the world, this is the only avenue where hope will be sustained. This is the only solution to their problems, because this is the one that truly gives joy to the soul of mankind. Mankind, individuals, are at war with themselves because of sin, because of casting God completely aside by imagining that they, pretending that they can do everything without God. And they sink ever more into despair, ever more into war, ever more into hatred for one another, to the point of mass murder, self-loathing, loathing of God and of self and of neighbor. What a horrific world we live in. And it is in that situation that we have to proclaim that hope, that we show that hope to others, even unto the very end, to the last drop of blood, if that's what our Lord asks of us, if that's what Our Lady asks of us, And we ought to consider ourselves privileged for the opportunity, just like St. Maximilian considered himself privileged for the opportunity to give everything for Our Lady. What would it mean, do you suppose, if, not that I expect that this is going to happen, but just suppose that Our Lady handed out 2 crowns to us? Would we be generous like St. Maximilian? Now we say to ourselves, well, we don't have quite the life that young St. Maximilian did. Well, okay. But how about from this time forward? I choose all. I choose both. That's what a true son or daughter of Our Lady says in response to Our Lady. That's what she said. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. That's what she wants to teach us. That's what these young men are doing. Let me tell you what, these young men have no idea ultimately what sacrifice Our Lady is going to be asking of them. And let me tell you, there are going to be some pretty tough days ahead. That's the way it is for anybody who becomes a son and daughter of Our Lady. Not because it delights Our Lady to put people through trials just for the sake of trials itself, but because of the joy, but because of the grace that flows forth as a result. God always does things in the best way, never second best, always the best. That's what these young men wish to tell you today. He always does things in the best way, and there's never a reason to lose confidence, to lose hope, to lose trust in God, and we never will, no matter what trials we have to endure, if we never forget and live ready to shed the last drop of our blood to witness to the truth of how much Our Lady loves us and what it means to hope in her, to let her be our beacon of hope, to let her be our gateway to life, our gateway to salvation. Praise be Jesus and Mary.